Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and the title of this episode is Show Tune Sirens, the Femme Fatales of Broadway. And in Greek and Roman mythology, sirens were dangerous half-bird, half-woman creatures who lured sailors to their deaths with their irresistible singing. And the definition generally of a femme fatale is an attractive and seductive woman, especially one who is likely to cause distress or disaster to a man who becomes involved with her. And although we are not going to stick strictly to those two definitions, we are going to look at lots of female characters from musical theater who, through their feminine wiles and their manipulations and their behavior, have caused trouble for other characters to comedic effect or to disastrous effect. We're going to start with actually perfect examples of true femme fatales as we know them so well from the world of film noir, and a musical that revolves around the making of a film in that genre, 1989's Tony-winning best musical, City of Angels. And the two characters from that show are Alora and Mallory Kingsley. In the movie being written by Stein, Detective Stone is hired by Alora Kingsley to find her missing stepdaughter, Mallory, while her wealthy arms magnate husband, who has been stricken by polio, resides in an iron lung. Both women proved to be seductive and very dangerous in their own ways. Dee Hody plays Alora Kingsley, and Rachel York plays Mallory Kingsley, and James Naughton plays Stone. So we're going to hear two selections right now featuring those two femme fatales. We're going to hear Dee Hody and James Naughton in a song of seduction called The Tennis Song. And then we're going to hear Mallory, played by Rachel York, singing Lost and Found.
You seem at home on the court.
Let's say that I've played around.
Well, you don't look like the sort.
My hidden talents abound. A competitor hasn't been found to defeat me.
I bet you're a real good sport.
Shall we say the ball is in your court?
I bet you like to play rough.
I like to work up a sweat.
And you just can't get enough.
I'm good for more than one set. But I promise I'll show no regret if you beat me.
My backhand is clearly my forte.
Shall we say the ball is in your court?
Your next of kin did.
My husband never plays with me. He's too easily winded.
You leave me breathless too.
Wait till our match is through.
I may lack form and finesse, but I warm up in a jiff.
It's not exciting unless the competition is stiff.
I think I understand your racket. I'm not in your league.
But you can hack it.
This game commences with love.
Well, I think love is a bore.
Let's give the tempo a shove.
And raise the stakes a bit more.
One thing I'm positive of, it's time for someone to score.
Tell me how you like to play.
On grass or clay and every day.
They're both okay.
But time is running short. Darling, let's don't dilly-dally.
Ready for a rousing rally.
Shall we say the ball is in your court?
Detective, you've been looking too hard. You should have started looking in your own backyard.
gallery, searching for Mallory. Wanna play lost and found? Well, then here I am on the lam. You've been assigned to find out where I've been, and now you found me in your bed. Turn me in. Why don't I turn you on instead? Teasing lips, pleasing thighs, easy on.
Our next three ladies might not be considered technically femme fatales, but they use their seductive wiles and manipulation to lead others astray and to give up their freedom, their sanity, and even their souls. In Thoroughly Modern Millie, Mrs. Mears, played by Harriet Harris, welcomes young ladies to New York in her boarding house slash hotel who are pursuing their dreams, but she is seducing them, sort of, into the world of white slavery. And she is going to sing, Harriet Harris is going to sing They Don't Know, which is all about her cunning little scheme that she's participating in. In The Mystery of Edwin Drood, Cleo Lane plays Princess Puffer, who is running an opium den where she is kind of seducing men into the world of drug addiction, where they ultimately are giving up their sanity. And Cleo Lane sings about that in Wages of Sin. And then from The Little Mermaid, we have Ursula, who is kind of maybe the ultimate in that she's sort of a sea witch who helps people achieve their dreams. Sometimes it's to have in Ariel's world, she wants to have feet or legs so she can walk on land, but they have to give up something. And ultimately, they give up their souls. And we're going to hear Sherry Renee Scott as Ursula singing Poor Unfortunate Souls. So here are Mrs. Mears from Thoroughly Modern Millie, Princess Puffer from The Mystery of Edwin Drood, and Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
They don't know my flair for the dramatic. Not a clue the talent I possess. Pretty girls, but not much in the attic. Face to face with genius, and they never guess. They don't know they're staring at an artist, highly trained to take on any role. Skillful mime and brilliant laundry cartist, seeking retribution for the life they stole. I almost acted Chekhov, Ibsen, Shaw, Moliere. I almost starred as Peter Pan, imagine moi midair. I almost tackled Shakespeare, a blushing Juliet. And if the house were big enough, I still could play her yet. They don't know I'm hotter news than Dooza, Helen Hayes, and Bernhardt all in one. They're on top, and I look like the loser. Wait and see who's standing when my play is done. So welcome all you bright young ladies. You're checking in to Hotel Hades. I won't stand by while critics praise ya. You're getting shipped to Southeast Asia. But they don't know, they don't know. Sad to be all alone in the world. But they don't know.
Crime don't pay. That's what I tells them. If it did, would I be here? Mixing pipes, what then I sells them for a pint of rotten beer. Throat you cut to pocket threepence, when you slaps to cop some sleep. Bash a face for bleeding tuppence, pure disgrace to work so cheap. So I says, don't be a sinner, for the price of London gin. You can't pay for one square dinner with the wages of sin. Sell me soul? Oh, love, come off it. Who would buy this sack of skin? On the whole, there ain't much profit in the wages of sin. In the wages of sin. In the wages of sin. I've seen girls from gutter families trap rich men with fluttery ways, and they say, cool, pass the jam, please, over nuptial breakfast trays. Over here, in bed 11, sleeps a bleeding hypocrite, spends his days, eyes cast to heaven, spends his nights amongst this shit. Ooh, do beg your pardon, I'm sure. Well, why I says, don't take half measures, do things right and dig right in. In this world, there's better treasures than the wages of sin. I get threats, seldom offers. Well, if I did, I'd pack it in. You can't fill too many coffers with the wages of sin. Come on, give your old love some help with the last line then, eh? With the wages of sin. Oh, bloody hell. Now, you can do better than that. Come on, get off your bums and give us the notes then.
My dear sweet child, it's what I live for, to help unfortunate merfolk like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to. I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch. But you'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways, repented, seen the light, and made a switch. True, yes. And I fortunately know a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And here lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, lonely and depressed. Pathetic, poor unfortunate souls, in pain, in need. one wants to get the girl, and do I help them?
Yes, indeed.
Those poor unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cauldron, crying, spell, Cecilia, please, and I help them.
Yes, I do. Now it's happened once or twice.
Someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake them across the balls.
Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor unfortunate souls. Here's my best offer, babykins. I knew a spell that will turn you into a human for 3 days. Now it's got a procedural clause, sort of a squid pro quo.
Before the sun sets on the third day, you've got to get dear old Princey to kiss you. If you do, you'll stay human forever.
And if I don't?
Nothing drastic, darling, I'm sure. Oh, look, small print.
Your soul is mine forever, and you're doomed to spend eternity in my watery, hell-soaked lair. Lawyers, don't you just love 'em?
Of course, there is one more thing.
My fee.
But I don't have anything.
I'm not asking for much.
Only your voice.
My voice? If I give away my voice, how can I ever?
You'll have your looks, your pretty face. And don't underestimate the power of body language. The men up there don't like a lot of blabber. They think a girl who gossips is a bore. Yes, on land it's much preferred for ladies not to say a word. And after all, dear, what is idle prattle for? Come on, they're not all that impressed with conversation. True gentlemen avoid it when they can. But they dote and swoon and fawn on a lady who's withdrawn. It's she who holds her tongue who gets her man. Come on, you poor unfortunate soul. Go ahead,
make your choice.
I'm a very busy woman and I haven't got all day. It won't cost much, just your voice. You poor unfortunate soul. If you wanna cross a bridge, my sweet, you gotta pay the toll. Take a gulp and take a breath. Go ahead and sign the scroll. Flotsam jetsam, now I got a voice. The boss is on a roll. You poor unfortunate soul. Sevruga, come winds of the Caspian Sea. Larynx as glossitis at maxillaryngitis, la voce to me.
Now sing, sing your voice over to me.
Our next two women turn their seductive charms on two newcomers to their lives who they think can rescue them. First up is Laloom from Kismet. Laloom is the bored, beautiful wife of the powerful and evil wazir of police in ancient Baghdad. And when Hajj, a traveling poet, beggar, and trickster arrives, along with his beautiful daughter, he soon convinces the wazir he is a powerful magician. The wazir sees in Hajj a way to foil the caliph's plans to marry a commoner, who happens to be Haj's daughter, while Laloom sees in Haj a way out of her unhappy marriage and a way out of Baghdad, and she soon sets about seducing him. In the end, Haj ends up killing the evil wazir, which frees up Laloom, for which Haj requests that his punishment be his banishment to a far-off oasis in the company of the wazir's widow. Now, this is depicted as a happy ending. After all, the wazir is the villain of the show, but Laloom isn't quite so innocent in all this, is she? And then we're going to turn to Lady Jacqueline Carstone from Me and My Girl in this raucous British musical comedy, Me and My Girl, by Noel Gay, a search for the legitimate heir to the Earl. The title of the Earl of Hereford leads to Bill Snibson, a Cockney from Lambeth, but his rough accent and manners don't fit right in exactly with him inheriting the title and the estate, and he must win the approval of the executors and win over the very snobby family, including Lady Jackie, who sees in him a potential future husband in the Earl, as she attempts to seduce him in one of the show's funniest numbers. Of course, her attempts fail, and he ends up with his Sally, his girl from his Cockney neighborhood. So from Kismet, we're going to hear Joan Deaner as Laloom, with Alfred Drake as Haj, singing Rahat Lakum. And then we're going to hear Jane Summerhays as Lady Jackie, trying to seduce Robert Lindsay as Bill Snibson from Me and My Girl, singing You Would If You Could.
Ladies, shall we begin service? What shall be the subject of our erotic discourse?
Shall we discuss the nature of virtue?
Think, ladies, cogitate, sharpen up the edges of your wit.
Virtue is the purest lily Allah ever grew.
Virtue is the spotless fruit upon the tree of character.
Virtue is its own reward.
Virtue is the pathway to paradise. Virtue is the road from doom. Virtue is the foe of depravity, barricade to hell's dark cavity. Virtue is the nectar celestial. Virtue is divine perfume. Virtue is the god's own ambrosia. Virtue is
Rahat Lakum.
Rahat Lakum.
Rahat Lakum.
On days when my lord groweth restless and bored with his sword and his bloom, his handmaiden hath what he needeth. And what doth he need?
Rahat Lakum.
On nights when my lord looketh listless and black is the hue of his gloom, his handmaiden hath what he lacketh. And what doth he lack?
Tis sweet with the meat of the lychee nut, combined with a kumquat rind, the kind of confection to drive a man out of his Mesopotamian mind.
And lo, if my lord feeleth faithless and roameth
smelleth the scent, he turneth his face. His previous place in her embrace he doth resume.
And love is in bloom, the wine they consume.
Bill, if only you knew how long I've been waiting for you.
Get off. I was only downstairs.
How I've looked for someone who plays upon my heart like you. Tall and dark and handsome and sweet. Someone who could take my heart, maybe tear my soul apart. You could, and you should, and you would, if you could.
Oh, but I can't.
I'm sure that you can. I know you're a man, and you would, if you could.
But I shan't.
When you're a bad boy, you go my way. But you're a good boy, and so you say. Regretfully, you would. If you could, you could, and you should, and you would, if you could.
Nah, it's impossible. I might put my arms round you, do the things that most men do, men not so high-minded as I.
I can't do that caveman stuff.
Sock 'em hard, treat 'em rough. Mother wouldn't like me to try.
You would, if you could. You could, and you should, and you would, if you could.
But I don't.
I'm sure that you do. Just look at the view, and you would, if you could.
But I won't.
You're like an apple on top of a tree. I'd like to
shake you.
I'd like to see you falling for me.
I would, if I could.
You could, and you should, and you would, if you could. Bill!
And I I really think it's out of the question.
We now move on to, I guess, another dimension for three women with more, shall we say, spiritual qualities. In High Spirits, a musical version of Noel Coward's Blythe Spirit, Elvira is the deceased wife of mystery author Charles Condamine. Elvira's ghost is summoned during a seance that's hosted by Charles and his second wife, Ruth. And once back, Elvira's ghost refuses to leave and is determined to get Charles to join her on the other side. And in the song we're going to hear, Faster Than Sound, she regales him with the joys of life as a ghost and being able to travel around the world faster than sound, leading Charles to unsuccessfully attempt suicide by jumping off the roof. Elvira's next attempt is to tinker with Charles's car, but unfortunately Ruth, the second wife, drives it first, and she is killed in an accident, and Charles soon finds himself haunted by both wives' ghosts, thanks to Elvira's meddlings. Then we're going to hear turn to Camelot. In Arthurian legend, the Lady of the Lake is sometimes called Nimue. In the musical Camelot, she is simply described as a water nymph or fairy who lures Merlin away into her cave for an eternal sleep. He begs her for answers as he has forgotten if he has warned Arthur about Lancelot and Mordred before his memories fade permanently, but he cannot recall, and she doesn't give him the answers. Historically, in some versions, she does this with evil intent, as she has previously seduced Merlin into teaching her all of his magical powers, and once he did, she sealed him away forever in a cave. Then we're going to turn to Damn Yankees, in which middle-aged Joe Boyd makes a deal with the devil himself in the form of Mr. Applegate to turn him into an amazing baseball player named Joe Hardy to help the baseball team, the Washington Senators, win the pennant. But Joe Boyd must agree to leave his wife forever and remain Joe Hardy unless he decides to not play in the final game of the season. In order to guarantee that Joe Hardy stays Joe Hardy, Applegate calls on the best home wrecker on his staff, Lola, to seduce Joe and keep him in line. But in the end, the love for his wife proves much stronger. And we are going to hear from Lola from Damn Yankees, played by Gwen Verdon, singing Whatever Lola Wants. Before that, we'll hear Mary Sue Barry as Nimue in Camelot singing Follow Me to Merlin as she seduces him into her cave. And we'll begin with Tammy Grimes and the chorus as she sings as Elvira the ghost, plotting, trying to convince Charles to commit suicide, singing Faster Than Sound from High Spirits.
These silly human beings try to speed the traveler's pace with super jets and rocket ships and probes to outer space. But there upon the other side we laugh at every probe, for there we only have to think to whiz around the globe. So close your eyes and concentrate with me, and see what fun an astral voyage can be. Lunch in London, or gay Paris, to Singapore in time for tea. Flying is a life for me. I get around faster than sound. Two old fashions in Tokyo, and dinner down in Mexico. What a kick it is to go flying around faster than sound. California, there I went, breakfast in the park. Hello, Broadway, shh, goodbye. I can't stop at all, cause I wanna have my lunch in London or gay Paris. The dizzy circle starts again, all because I got this yen to be found off the ground, getting round.
A movie star in Rome, a comrade in Moscow, a Raja in Bombay, in Israel, a Yingle, a dude in Santa Fe, and it's comforting to know there's a peace call everywhere I go.
Off the ground, get down and around and around.
whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. And little man, little Lola wants you. Make up your mind to have no regrets. Recline yourself, resign yourself, you're through. I always get what I aim for, and your heart and soul is what I came for. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. No use to fight, don't you know you can't win? You're no exception to the rule. I'm irresistible, you fool. Give in. Give in. Give in.
Hello, Joe. It's me. He hit so far. Hold on, that's you. Boop, boop, boop. You fool. Give in. Give in.
We now turn to two women from history who at a young age began making life-changing decisions that would have important impacts on history and on their countries and on the world. First up, the teenage Cleopatra that we meet in the musical Her First Roman finds herself already a queen, dealing with political intrigue as well as an invading Roman army led by Julius Caesar. And her decision to seduce and align her interests with Caesar would have major historical ramifications on Egypt and the rest of the Mediterranean world. Then we turn to Argentina and the actions and determination of a 15-year-old Eva Duarte that we meet at the beginning of Evita, who works her way up or sleeps her way up from model to radio star to actress to eventually meeting Colonel Juan Perón at a charity concert and soon becoming his wife and first lady of Argentina, has a major impact on Argentina, South America, and again, the world and musical theater in the form of Evita. So from Her First Roman, as Cleopatra, we're going to hear Leslie Uggams singing Many Young Men from Now, as we hear about her determination to use lots of men in her life. Then we're going to hear Elaine Page and Joss Ackland as Eva Duarte and Juan Perón seducing each other in I'd Be Surprisingly Good for You.
I'll find the right young man, many young men from now. My every night young man, many young men from now. The face of Apollo, the head nicely hollow, the fellow who'll follow. Many many young men from now. Handsome society, many young men from now. But I'll do the choosing of those most amusing, without once reusing any young men from now. When I want men to adore me, I'll ding-dong a bell, and as my moods keep changing, I'll change the personnel. I'll be the lonely one many young men from now, tied down to only one many young men from now. Though I'll be resigned to the man I'm confined to, there's time to be kind to many young men from now. They'll come in fleets of ships, but when they touch my shore, I'll drive them off with whips, keeping at most a score. And you may believe me, not one loss will grieve me. The leaving should leave me many young men from now. I'll keep inspiring young poets to write of my charms. The moment they stop writing, they lose their little arms. I plan to fascinate many young men from now, but I'll assassinate any who break their vow. The heads of the fickle shall roll with a trickle. My sickle should tickle many young men from now. Dear Caesar, you'll be my old king, my wise king, the king I love best. Always entertain you with stories of the rest. When I am old and gray, many young men from now, then you may walk my way, many young men from now. Yes, you may collect me to guide and direct me, but please don't expect me till many young men.
Seems crazy, but you must believe. There's nothing calculated, nothing planned. Please forgive me if I seem naive. I would never want to force your hand, but please understand, I'd be good for you. I don't always rush in like this. 20 seconds after saying hello, telling strangers I'm too good to miss. If I'm wrong, I hope you'll tell me so, but you really should know, I'd be good for you. I'd be surprisingly good for you. I won't go on if I'm boring you, but do you understand my point of view? Do you like what you hear, what you see, and would you be good for me too? I'm not talking of a hurried night, a frantic tumble, then a shy goodbye, creeping home before it gets too light. That's not the reason that I caught your eye, which has to imply I'd be good for you. I'd be surprisingly good for you.
Go on! can understand you perfectly, and I like what I hear, what I see, and knowing me, I would be good for you too.
I'm not talking of a hurried night, a frantic tumble, then a shy goodbye, creeping home before it gets too light. That's not the reason that I caught your eye, which has to imply I'd be good for you. I'd be surprisingly good for you.
Our next three ladies are all seeking fame and fortune. One is absolutely real, and two are fictional, and the results range from tragic to comedic. We begin with Evelyn Nesbitt, who began working as a model. She was absolutely real in her early teens at the turn of the 20th century and soon became a Broadway chorus girl. And like many models and chorus girls in New York, she had plenty of wealthy older gentlemen suitors, including famed architect Stanford White, who supposedly drugged and raped her at the age of 16. She eventually married railroad tycoon Henry Thaw. Thaw would later murder White in front of a crowd of people at the rooftop theater at Madison Square Garden. The resulting murder trial was a press sensation called The Crime of the Century by newspapers and made Evelyn a huge celebrity. Thaw, by the way, would be found not guilty by reason of insanity. The story was captured in the musical Ragtime with Lynette Perry and the cast singing a song called The Crime of the Century. Then we're going to move to a 1925 musical by George and Ira Gershwin called Tiptoes, set in Palm Beach, Florida. Rollo Fish Metcalf's socialite wife Sylvia is planning a party for her millionaire brother Steve, who is coming to visit. Rollo is waiting at the train station for the vaudevillian entertainers, the Comical K's, which is comprised of Tiptoe K, her brother Al, and her uncle Hen, who are there to entertain at the party. It turns out that Rollo once had a flirtation with Tiptoes K, who was not at all pleased to find out that he was married at the time. And Sylvia, his wife, has seen an incriminating photo of the pair. When Rollo greets the Comical K's as they get off the train and discovers that Tiptoes is one of the troupe, he pays them to get back on the train and leave. The K's are so poor that Tiptoes had to travel inside the luggage to avoid paying for a ticket. They decide to stay in Palm Beach to see if they can find a millionaire for Tiptoes to marry. They are very socially ambitious, and she's a bit of a gold digger, as you can see. Posing now as Roberta von Rensselaer, Tiptoes meets and falls for millionaire Steve, remember, Sylvia's brother, the millionaire, but feels bad about lying to him about being rich and socially mobile. Anyway, comic mayhem and misdirection ensue on the way to a very happy ending for the unwilling gold digger named Tiptoes. We're going to hear Tiptoes, Emily Lesser, along with her brother and uncle, Louis J. Stadlin and Lee Wilcox, singing a wonderful Gershwin song called These Charming People from the song, musical Tiptoes. Another woman out for money can be found in the musical I Can Get It For You Wholesale in the personages of performer Martha Mills, who is hired by ambitious and unscrupulous Harry Bogan to be a model for his new line of women's fashions. Martha senses that there's money to be had by getting involved with Harry more than just professionally, and soon Harry has dumped his girlfriend Ruthie and is lavishing gifts and money on Martha, until later in the show when checks to Martha start bouncing and she commiserates with one of Harry's former partners in a song called What's In It For Me, and we're going to hear from the recent off-Broadway revival of the show, Joy Woods as Martha and Greg Hildreth as the former Harry partner, singing What's In It For Me. And we're, so here is Martha Mills from I Can Get It For You Wholesale, Tiptoes from Tiptoes, and Evelyn Nesbitt from Ragtime.
And now, testifying for the defense, Miss Evelyn Nesbitt!
Hello, gentlemen. Your Honor, I was once the lady friend
of Stanford White.
He's the famous architect!
Yes, that's right. He put me on a velvet swing and made me wear, well, hardly anything. Ruined at the age of 15, Your Honor. Then I went and married Mr. Harry Thaw,
eccentric millionaire. Oh, oh!
Harry's a jealous man.
Bang, bang!
And that was the end of Stan.
Who? Who?
Your Honor, be fair. My Harry went crazy, I swear.
No, 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 no.
Now it's the crime of the century. Crime of the century.
Stan is in heaven, and Evelyn is in vaudeville.
The crime of the century, the crime of the century, all for a youthful fling. Fortune, fame, and a ruined name.
And now I'm the girl on the swing.
Mother's younger brother was in love with Evelyn Nesbit. From his regular seat in the front row of the second balcony, he would lean far over the railing, hoping his goddess would notice him. One night he almost fell. Evelyn caught sight of him and smiled. Life was suddenly wonderful and full of delicious possibilities.
Oh, oh!
Harry must not be hung.
Bang, bang!
Let's have that verdict sung. Your Honor, we find that Harry's not guilty.
My Harry's not guilty.
'Cause Harry is out of his mind, and it's the crime of the century. Crime of the century. Making the world go ring. Harry's in trouble and Stan is in heaven,
and Evelyn gets publicity.
The crime of the century, crime of the century. Not such an awful thing.
Stan is killed, but my mother's thrilled, 'cause now I'm the girl on the...
Now she's the girl on the...
Now I'm the girl
on the swing.
For 10 cents, I'd not get block off.
Yeah, and 10 cents would look like a big purse to a piker like you.
Is that so? I'm no more of a piker than you are.
Yeah? Well, look here. You've been riding me all evening.
I haven't been riding
yet. Boys, boys, please, remember. We are Van Rensselaers. That is not the way society folk comport themselves when they disagree.
No?
No! You guys should know that.
You're right, Roberta. These old family feuds should be forgotten. Uncle Percival, from now on, I'm going to be as friendly to you as a male hornet.
We must make it our ambition to live up to our position as we take our places in society.
When those million-dollar blokes pass, I will never make a folks pass. I will show them I am full of pedigree.
And the lady isn't born yet. Who can beat me at a lorgnette when I'm honoring the Oprah at the Met?
So if you're not social winners, don't invite us to your dinners. We must warn you, we'll be awful hard to get.
We'll be like these charming people, putting on the Ritz, acting as befits. These charming people, very debonair, full of savoir-faire.
I hear that Mrs. Who's, it's created quite a stir. She built a little love nest for her and her chauffeur.
Ooh, if these people can be charming, then we can be charming too.
Please recall if you've forgotten that my father was in cotton and my family is truly FFV.
Merely social climbing varmints, ours was made in undergarments, so you see before you one who's BVD.
If that's a pedigree, enjoy it. My old man came from Detroit, so I'll have you know that I am FOB.
In our veins there runs the true blood. When we mingle with the blue blood, the 400 will become 403.
We'll be like these charming people, putting on the Ritz, acting as befits. These charming people, very debonair, full of savoir-faire.
I hear that Mrs. Uno is riding for a fall.
It seems that when her child was born, she wasn't there at all.
If these people can be charming, then we can be charming too.
My little musical evening, Lord Canvas Bottom. Have you met Professor Pierre de Couchon?
Charmed, I'm sure.
Likewise, I'm also sure.
You know, I'm all wrapped up in art.
How interesting. Art who?
Yes, I just bought 2 whistlers.
Male and female, I presume.
Don't you just adore music?
No, I wallow in it.
Do you know I played on the euphonium when I was only 5?
Did you really? I played on the linoleum when I was only 2.
We'll be like these charming people, putting on the Ritz, acting as befits. These charming people, very debonair, full of savoir faire.
It's nice of Mr. Blank Blank to lead a moral life. He's keeping 3 apartments, and 1 is for his wife.
Oh, if these people can be charming, then we can be charming too.
Mr. Ash, may I ask you a personal question?
I love personal questions.
If you were me, what would you do next?
I'd let Teddy Ash buy you a drink. Hi, 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 baby. On the windy hill we'll kiss and sigh, baby. While our hearts stand still before we try, baby. Climbing merrily.
1 minute, what's in it for me?
I'm just talking deep, 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 baby. Like waves on a shore, our love will sweep, baby, with a mighty roar before we leap. Dear baby, hit that chilly sea.
1 minute, what's in it for me?
You want the faintest idea of who'll pay the bill.
That's right.
Well, let's go get our feet wet and climb that windy hill.
Just to be clear, far, 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 baby, up in heaven's blue, we'll ride a star, baby, where each wish comes true till we depart, baby.
1 minute, what's in it?
1 minute, what's in it?
1 minute, what's in it for me?
High, high,
what's
high,
in it
baby.
For me?
Deep, deep, deep,
what's
deep,
in it
baby.
For me?
Far, far,
what's
far,
in it,
baby?
What's in it for me?
So as we are looking at show tune sirens or femme fatales of Broadway, we now have our version of the crazy femme fatale or the crazy manipulative woman, one who has tragic consequences and one that's much funnier and crazy funny. We have Norma Desmond from Sunset Boulevard as faded silent screen star Norma Desmond seduces struggling screenwriter Joe Gillis as she's descending into madness, trying to plot her comeback on the big screen with fatal consequences for Joe, obviously, if you're familiar with the movie or the stage musical. We're going to hear The Perfect Year from that show. And we're going to hear actually probably a version you've never heard of The Perfect Year. We're going to hear Faith Brown and Earl Carpenter who starred in the 2001-2002 UK tour of the show. Then from Crybaby, which is a much funnier show, an adaptation of the John Waters film of the same name. Certifiably insane Lenora Frigid, who's obsessed with Crybaby, breaks up his romance with sweet square Allison by claiming that she's pregnant with his child and conspires with devious Baldwin, the main leader of the squares in town, who's in love with Allison. And they work together to come up with some schemes to break them up. And in this song, Ali Mazzi, who plays Lenora, sings a song that's so appropriate called Screw Loose. So here from Sunset Boulevard, Norma Desmond, played by Faith Brown, singing The Perfect Year, and Ali Mazzi, who plays Lenora from Crybaby, singing Screw Loose.
Ring out the old, ring in the new, a midnight wish to share with you. Your lips are warm, my head is light, where we are alive before tonight. I don't need a crowded ballroom. Everything I want is here. If you're with me, next year will be the perfect year.
Before we play some dangerous game, before we fan some harmless flame, we have to ask if this is wise and if the game is worth the prize. With this wine and with this music, how can anything be clear? Let's wait and see. It may just be the perfect year.
Eccentric, erratic, toys in the
day when they finally do.
Yeah, I know. Leave me alone. Oh.
I'll be here if you need a loose screw.
We're going to turn to some great literature that was turned into musicals for our next three examples. We've got, based on a 70-page segment from Tolstoy's War and Peace, we have Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. And it has a whole array of interesting characters and relationships to explore. But one in particular, which fits into our category for the show this week, is Helene, who is married to Pierre of the show's title. And she married him very openly for his money. And others refer to her in the show as a slut. She is the sister of Anatole and openly encourages his pursuit of Natasha, even though he is a married man. Helene herself is also involved in an affair with Anatole's best friend, Fedya. It's such a twisted web that Helene seems to be weaving, and she is played by Amber Gray in the show, and she sings Charming. Then we turn to The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, which is currently still playing on Broadway, and we're going to focus on the character of Myrtle Wilson. Myrtle is married to George, a mechanic, but it is Tom Buchanan who she is the mistress of. Tom is a former football star and rich. Myrtle hates being poor, and she's excited to be a mistress of a rich man like Tom. But the problem is Tom is abusive. He has broken her nose during an argument. And at one point in the show, later in the show, she's walking to the plaza thinking about her pregnancy. She's now pregnant by Tom, when she is hit and killed by a yellow Rolls Royce. Tom, who has seen Myrtle's body being carried away by the police, and Nick and Jordan, who are two other main characters in the show, realize that the yellow Rolls Royce that struck and killed Myrtle was Jay Gatsby's car, which is a major plot point at the end of the show, is that Gatsby's car is the one that kills Myrtle in the show. And Myrtle is basically kind of a gold digger. I mean, she's out for money and she's happily carrying on this affair with Tom Buchanan behind the back, even though everybody seems to know it except poor George the mechanic, that his wife is out there having an affair with Tom and is pregnant with his child. But she unfortunately gets her due at the end when she gets killed. And she's just finished singing a song called One Way Road, and it is Sarah Chase who plays Myrtle in The Great Gatsby. Then we turn to The Golden Apple, in which Homer's Iliad and Odyssey are transplanted to a small town in America called Angel's Roost. Helen of Troy, who in the Iliad is abducted by Paris and sets off the Trojan War, is now Helen, the farmer's daughter of easy virtue, married to the much older sheriff Menelaus, and she is now offered up to Paris as a bribe as he's judging a baking contest. Helen, who's bored with her marriage to this old man, and as I said, is of easy virtue, jumps at the chance to seduce Paris with her big song, and like in Homer's tale, it sets off a huge war. In the show, Kay Ballard plays Helen, and her big song of seduction is the famous Lazy Afternoon. So here is Helene from Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812, Myrtle Wilson from The Great Gatsby, and Helen from The Golden Apple.
Oh, my enchantress, oh, you beautiful thing, charming, charming, oh, this is really beyond. Dresses suit you, this one metallic gauze, straight from Paris. Anything suits you, my charmer. Oh, how she blushes, how she blushes, my pretty. Oh, how she blushes, how she blushes, my pretty. Chante, chante. You are such a lovely thing, oh, where have you been? It's such a shame to bury pearls in the country. Chante, chante, charming. Now if you have a dress, you must wear it out.
yesterday, but he didn't eat a thing, 'cause he was thinking about you. He kept sighing about you. Oh, how she blushes, how she blushes, my pretty. Oh, how she blushes, how she blushes, my pretty. Chavante, chavante. You are such a lovely thing. Oh, where have you been? It's such a shame to bury pearls in the country. Chavante, chavante, charming. Quite madly in love with you, my dear. Oh, how she blushes, how she blushes, my pretty. Oh, how she blushes, how she blushes, my pretty. Chante, chante.
Going to the Plaza Hotel. 1 mile down and seven to go. Seven to go. He needs to know. Though I'm not showing, a baby's growing. And I am going to the Plaza Hotel. 1 mile down and seven to go. Seven to go. Watch the road, asshole! With you calling crazy, I will pick his little daisy and I'll stick it to her that he's mine. And this baby here is genuine. Once he knows, he'll kick her out the door. We'll open up a bottle, we'll open two. He'll propose, I'll smile and say sure. Then presto, poof, my dreams have all come true. I will be a rich man's wife with a rich man's baby and be set for life. A debutante, a connoisseur, wait. What if I turn into her? When the new shiny thing becomes the one who wears the ring, I am guessing I'll have two good ears before another shiny thing appears. One way alone. Is that what this is? Have I traveled from a very early age, one way road, where the choices are his, and it dead ends in a cage. Tom may not be loyal, but with him I'm royalty. Do I let him break my heart and nose? The game's security. No dress, no ring, no party, no baby. Back to home, he'll love this baby as his own. And soon we three will be a million miles away. I know that George will love me come what may. God, it's so simple that it's funny. The only choice is love or money. Oh, one
bugs are zooming and the tulip trees are blooming, and there's not another human in view but us two. It's a lazy afternoon, and the farmer leaves his reaping, and the meadow cows are sleeping, and the speckled trout stop leaping upstream as we dream. As it grows, it's a lazy afternoon, and my rocking chair will fit you, and my cake was never richer, and I've made a tasty pitcher of tea. So spend this lazy afternoon with me. Daisies running riot, and there's no one passing by it to see. Come spend this lazy afternoon with me.
And of course, we can't look at singing sirens or femme fatales of Broadway without looking at two merry murderesses who are in Broadway's longest-running revival, and that is, of course, Chicago, with Roxy Hart and Velma Kelly. Roxy, of course, kills her lover, Fred Casely, when he is tossing her aside, and Velma Kelly has murdered her husband when he catches her having sex with her sister, and both of them have turned their prison life into celebrityhood in the show. We're going to hear two selections from Chicago. First off, we're going to hear Ruthie Henschel, who played Roxy in the original London production of the revival, but has been on Broadway and has played both Velma and Roxy on Broadway as a replacement. Then we're going to hear, and she's going to sing Funny Honey. Then we're going to hear Nowadays, performed by Anne Rye King and Bebe Neuwirth, who were the original Roxy and Velma in this particular revival. So here are Ruthie Henschel with Funny Honey and Anne Rye King and Bebe Neuwirth with Nowadays from Chicago.
For her first number, Miss Roxy Hart would like to sing a song of love and devotion dedicated to her dear husband, Amos.
Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, but he doesn't care, he'll string along. He loves me so, that funny honey of mine. Sometimes I'm down, sometimes I'm up, but he follows around like some droopy-eyed pup. He loves me so, that funny honey of mine.
He ain't no sheik. That's no great physique. Lord knows he ain't got the smarts. Oh, but look at that soul. I tell you, that hole is a whole lot greater than the sum of his parts. And if you knew him like me, I know you'd agree. What if the world slandered my name? Why, he'd be right there taking the blame. He loves me so, and it all suits me fine. That funny, sunny, honey hubby of mine.
A man got a right to protect his home and his loved ones, right?
Of course he has.
Well, I come in from the garage, officer, and I see him coming through the window with my wife Roxanne there sleeping like an
he
angel.
He loves me so, that funny honey of mine.
I mean, supposing he had violated her or something, you know what I mean? Violated?
I know what you mean.
Or something? Think how terrible that would have been. Good thing I got home from work on time, I'm telling you that. I say, I'm telling you that.
He loves me so, that funny honey of mine.
Name of deceased, Fred Casely.
Fred Casely? How could he be a burglar? My wife knows him. He sold us our furniture.
Lord knows he ain't got the smarts.
She lied to me. She told me he was a burglar.
You mean he was dead when you got home?
She had him covered with a sheet, and she's telling me this cock and bull story about this burglar, and I ought to say I did it because I was sure to get up.
Now he shot off his trap. I can't stand that sap.
So she was too
tired. Let him go. If they strike me up,
I
know.
This time she pushed me too hard. That little chisel
bored the toy.
What a sap I was.
That scummy, crummy, dummy, hubby of mine.
Gone. It's all gone. It's good, isn't it grand? Isn't it great? Isn't it swell? Isn't it fun? Isn't it nowadays? There's men everywhere, jazz everywhere, booze everywhere, life everywhere, joy everywhere nowadays. You can like the life you're living. You can live the life you like. You can even marry Harry, but mess around with Ike. And that's good. Isn't it grand? Isn't it great? Isn't it swell?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Vickers Theater, Chicago's finest home of family entertainment, is proud to announce a first. The first time anywhere there's been an act of this nature. Not only one little lady, but two. You've read about them in the papers, and now here they are, a doubleheader. Chicago's own Keller Dellers, those two scintillating sinners, Roxy Hart and Velma Kelly.
You can like the life you're living. You can live the life you like. You can even marry Harry, but mess around with
that's good. Isn't it grand? Isn't it great? Isn't it swell? Isn't it fun? Isn't it? But nothing stays. In 50 years or so, it's gonna change, you know. But oh, it's heaven nowadays.
You enjoyed that fun look at show tune sirens and the femme fatales of Broadway. We didn't stick really that closely to the definition of a siren or femme fatale, but we did look at a lot of very fun, evil intent ladies who manipulate people and do a lot of not very nice things with some tragic, but also some very funny outcomes. Hope you enjoyed listening to that. Join me again next week for another edition of the Broadway Radio Show. And next week actually will be the 900th episode. So come back for that. It's going to be an interesting, fun interview with a writer of a new musical. So we want to come back for that.